Welcome to the Bicycle Media Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the health of the cycling industry.
Not a lot of people had that tone that just said, ride whatever bike you want to ride.
There's a couple of things about building a custom bike.
What these e-bikes can do.
It's quite hard for them to train when they don't know what they're training for.
I started to demystify things.
But if you don't have the right staff, that's game over.
You're not selling at that point, you're educating.
Big shout out to the folks at Roastie for keeping the podcast caffeinated. Again, for orders over $40, they're going to ship free in Canada. Deliveries within the Edmonton area are now happening weekdays, and the cafe's open for a little bit as well. So big thanks to guys at Roastie. Check them out, roastie.ca. Now, I've been MIA for quite some time. Do apologize for that. 30 days on the road coaching this summer, coaching goalies, and now back at it here with the podcast. Thanks to all the guests that we have episodes in the can for. Going to get out and release all of those. But an episode recorded not too long ago is with my next guest, Dave Howells. He's the owner of thesaddlestudio.com as well as BC Bike Fit. Dave, of course, heads up the Bike Fit Canada division of Bike Fit, and met him down in BC at his studio. Again, check out bcbikefit.com. And had a great interview with him about all things bike fitting, the independent bike fitter, how to incorporate your services and develop good relationships with retailers, how he got started into it, and just his general thoughts about bike fit. So really cool guy, been at it a long time. His bio goes way, way back. Definitely somebody that taught me a lot about bike fit in just a short little bit of time. So for that, I'm very grateful, Dave, if you're checking this episode out. Certainly Dave himself, longtime rider in the BC area, over 25 years. He's been all over the world riding, competitive cyclist, as well as one of those guys that can definitely attest to turning the old beach cruisers into a bit of an early mountain bike. But I'll let him do most of that. It was great to actually have an interview for the BC or for the Bicycle Media Podcast in person. Many of you guys have been gracious with your time over the phone, including wheel builders in Australia, folks down in the States and just everywhere else, including Imogen Cotter, who was in Ireland for our interview. But great to speak with Dave. Going to start off just with a question about how he got into bike fit in general. So throw it over to Dave Howells.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it was my own interest, to be honest. I had no idea of starting this as a business or really offering it to other cyclists, bike fit service. And I felt very fortunate. I just started researching it probably 13 years ago now. It was quite a while, 2008-ish or somewhere around there, I think it was. And all of a sudden, I realized Paul Swift, who owns bikefit.com in the U.S., just lives north at the time, was living just north of Seattle. I'm like, wow, like here's like one of the best industry leaders in the world kind of thing, literally a couple hours away. So I reached out and we talked on the phone. It's kind of a funny thing in a way. He's like, dude, you sound like you got it together. He goes, you should buy the kit and just start fitting. And I'm like, are you sure? Yeah, you'll be great. And so this big cardboard box arrived full of goniometers and 4-foot measuring device and all these tools. I didn't know what any of it was. Had to read this manual and do this sort of online course thing. It was actually, there was a DVD, would have been the time of the DVD kind of education. And it was kind of neat. Like I kind of got going, but it really didn't click for me until I went down and met Paul and did my level one, the equivalent of what you're doing this weekend. That was like a few months after tinkering with all that stuff. And then it was like, oh, okay. I think I'm kind of starting to get it now.
I imagine Katrina was there.
Yeah.
So the powerhouse duo that would have been on that DVD, presumably.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, we talked a little bit before my saddle session about how there's different schools of thought and how perhaps Paul has, you know, really made sure that the foot pedal interface was, you know, really, really trained. It's the first thing that I had to do before even arriving here, which I loved. Can you talk a little bit about how getting down there, hands-on knowledge, changed your bike fit experience?
Yeah, I think a lot of systems focus on cockpit setup and are really, I almost want to say, a little obsessed about saddle height and handlebar assembly and how that all comes together. And no doubt, like that is very important and a big part of a bike fit session. But the foot pedal interface, and of course we're referring to the pedal, the cleat, the shoe, your foot, that whole package down there, critical contact zone, you know? And when we take it even one step further, think about this, like it clicks in, it locks into place. Whereas your hands, your upper body, your butt, you can move a little bit on these other aspects of the bike. You can't with the feet. And it really is important to get that right. You know, it's the foundation in many ways. You're doing thousands of revolutions in an hour on a bicycle. And if there can be a small little misalignment down there, it can manifest itself and lead to a possible injury, maybe a knee problem and stuff. So really critical zone, and we want to make sure we're looking after it.
Yeah, right at the base of the kinetic chain. 2008, we're now 2020, and there's lots of systems and lots of technology. We just discussed even saddle history to some degree. How has technology changed, not just in terms of bike manufacturing, but systems and measuring, you know, tools and stuff for saddle pressure and so on? How has that changed since 2008 for you? And has there been some good, some bad in some of that technological change?
I think, generally speaking, good. Information is power when it comes to bike fitting. And if technology can provide us with additional power that answers questions, then that's good. That's maybe going to lead to possibly a better fit. But I will sort of throw, a little bit of caution out there. There's no technology that exists that will do a bike fit for you. For instance, I've got lots of resources at my hands here in my studio, but I'm still relying on what I'm seeing, what my naked eye is seeing. I'm still relying on great communication with that individual on the bike. I'm still relying on some gut instincts. And if you don't have those, you're never going to be a great fitter. You might be okay at it, but the ability to sort of meld a little bit of art into bike fitting and not wholly rely on the science. I would say technology is more science-based. It's more data. It's more numbers. So probably what I often say is get a nice big toolbox going. You know what I mean? And maybe draw on technology at some point. Maybe you need it. At another point in a fit, maybe you've got to use your naked eye and really rely on what you're seeing and what the customer is telling you. So I think the best fitters in the world are probably those that are very well-rounded, and they've got a very holistic approach to the bike fit.
And that holistic approach, is that some of what you talked about and referred to as bike side manner, where you're developing that rapport to get that feedback from the client?
I think so. I think it's kind of maybe a three-way street. I, as a bike fitter, have maybe an enormous amount of knowledge about bike fitting. And then I'm using tools in my studio to also help me with information gathering. And some of them are tech-based and some of them are quite simple. And then the third one is maybe that rider feedback. And being, it's funny, I can almost look at a cyclist. If I make a change and I'm doing a reassessment on that change, I almost know if it's a good change or not just by how fast they're pedaling the bike, reading their body language. So that's valuable. We don't want to overlook that communication with the rider.
We're in your studio. It's very small, but quaint, and I love it. It's something that has COVID impacted your business quite a bit. And again, we're going to dive into a little bit about, the independent versus the retail-based fitter, but has it impacted you quite a bit?
Yes. Yes, hugely. I mean, it was mid-March, I shut down because of the pandemic. And then I believe it was May 19th, Bonnie Henry gave the order that a business like myself was able to start again under specific health and safety guidelines and all the rest of it. So when I restarted, I really wasn't sure what was going to happen. I did have quite a long wait list because I'd been closed for almost 2 months. So I was thinking, I'll be busy. I'm going to go through this wait list. And this is, there's 80 people on this, So anyways, that was a bit hit and miss, like with, I'm blah, 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 like people, time's going on, and then there's a pandemic. But I started to get really, really busy, like to a point where I'm like, I can barely keep up, like working every day. And I soon realized, like we all did in the industry, oh my goodness, cycling is exploding. Cycling is taking off because it is the one activity that we can do. It's been a great year because I feel like I've met some wonderful people. some first-time riders, and I've done my best to help them and start in the sport as best they can. And it's also been a good year, I'm not going to lie, financially. Yeah, I've been really busy. I've made some money, and I'm happy about that because I was concerned, like a lot of other people. I was shut down for, like, this is what I do for a living. And like anyone else, it's like, no, you can't work right now. So my wife and I had some, we had some legitimate financial worries and concerns. And yeah, I'm sitting here now, happy that those didn't sort of eventuate and play an enormous, like, impact us enormously. But I am sympathetic in saying that to the businesses out there that have suffered and unfortunately did end up shutting down. I don't want to sound like this, like, yay for the pandemic, bike fitting rules. I don't want to come across like that, you know?
No, and some of our retail clients have been extremely busy on the back end, you know, processing large amounts of online orders for either delivery or curbside pickup. And so I want to tailor this next question to that. Do you think with the high volume of curbside pickup for new bikes or delivery of new bikes, that there is a greater demand for fitting?
Yes, I think there is, because most people know and understand now that bike fit is something that everybody can benefit from. It's not an elitist service. It's not something that just the pro riders need. It's something that everybody needs. And so to get new riders into the studio and have an opportunity to send them down the road super dialed in, that's a great way to start in the sport, and I feel really fortunate to be part of that process.
And then just sticking with retail a little bit, we talked a little bit about this, and there's always that conversation of the bike shop owner putting time into their fit studio to have staff do a fit when they could be using that equal amount of time, be it, you know, an hour, 2 hours, versus, you know, fitting versus selling. What do you say to the bike shop that's got a bike fits, you know, studio that's become more of just a locker room for their staff? You know, people are putting jackets on sure. fit bikes, you know?
Yeah, good question. And it's like a lot of things in life. If you're going to do it properly. And if you feel like it isn't a service that you can deliver on a professional level and do a really good job, then maybe you shouldn't do it, because offering a service that is kind of half-masked, everybody can pick up on that and kind of go, yeah, it wasn't very great. So now your bike shop might be attached to, well, you're offering crappy service. Actually, you're not. You're a great bike shop, but you didn't do well in the bike fit department. So I'd be really careful with that. I've had enormous success with partnering up with many bike shops on the Lower Mainland. The nice thing about my business is it's home-based, and I'm a bit of a Switzerland in here. You know, I want to work with whoever wants to kind of work with me. I do have some stronger relationships with specific shops, and that's only because they've taken the time to come and meet me and see what I do and understand the service that I give. So, and they're happy with the fact that, you know, I'd like to think I do a really good job and I'm professional and I take the time to make sure I address all the details. Again, it'd be hard for a bike shop to kind of go, hey, there's another bike shop down the road that could offer you a bike fit. And I hear they're great. Like, it kind of makes no sense from a business standpoint. So if bike shops are out there kind of going, well, how could I make this work for myself? Maybe there's a BC bike fit like a Dave Howells in your city or neighborhood that would offer a great service, but primarily offers just that, bike fitting.
Correct. Yeah, because sometimes that bike fit comes free with the brand new bike, which could devalue the service of the bike fit and maybe isn't as detailed as you might do yourself.
And I think it's important to define what a bike fit is, because I've had people come in and go, oh yeah, I had a bike fit. And I'm like looking at them going, are you sure? Like, it's sort of, and they're like, yeah, yeah. The guy thought the stem was too long and he put a shorter stem on. And it's like, okay, hang on. Now, that to me, someone made a small adjustment to your bike. A bike fit is really, if we're really going to get into it, it's a 2 hour session. Could be an hour and a half, could be two and a half ish, but it addresses all the contact points. It understands the history of the cyclist. I mean, there's a lot that goes into offering a professional bike fit service. And I think sometimes bike shops, no offense to bike shops, but time is money. It's like, we got to get this done. And I don't know that it's really a process or a service that should be rushed. I don't rush it. But I could see why maybe a bike shop would just like, holy, we're busy this afternoon. Like, can you get, we need you out on the floor, you know? So it's a tough one. And the biggest thing that I've seen really with a lot of them is space. It's like, yeah, I don't have a big studio. It's about like 10 feet by about 19 to almost 20 feet. It's just under 200 square feet. 200 square foot to like a retail, like to dedicate this space on a retail floor to bike fitting, it's not going to happen. This is just too much space. So certainly sensitive to their needs and their challenges. But I think there is a way out. And we just talked about those with maybe partnering up with someone.
And I've heard that a few times as folks have given me a little bit of advice on how I might kind of build my own path. Let's talk a little bit about the 2-hour fit for you. How much of that is off the bike when somebody comes in? Somebody that you've never worked with before. And it's, you know, averages, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly off the bike during specific times when maybe you're changing out a seat or, you know, obviously just making some changes. Most of the time, I try to like to keep them on the bike as much as I can. Because I can see what's going on. And also getting someone off and on and off and on during a 2-hour session can be tricky. The time that they seem to get off and on the bike a lot is during the foot pedal interface, the front view evaluation, because it's kind of like, okay, jump off, give me your shoes. I need to make a cleat adjustment. Okay, jump back on. Can we reassess this now? Okay, we're not quite there. Jump back off. And I explained to them, hey, sorry, there's going to be a little bit off and on the bike at this point. You know, it's just part of it. And people are cool with that.
Some fitters, I guess, spend a lot of time looking at the individual standing, walking. You know, are there differences that they can sort of just basically see with, you know, asymmetry? You know, walking through a little bit of your fit process, how does it generally begin with somebody new? Is it just a conversation about, I mean, even we started off and you asked me kind of what I spend most of my time doing, which I said is, you know, for the last 20 years, it's been at a computer, either producing music, mm-hmm. graphic design, video, and it's been that world, which is why I'm so interested on in getting away from it to some degree, you know, diversifying my 14-hour day. But talk a little bit about how you get to know them before they jump on the bike, really.
Yeah, I mean, the process really is, it's a meet and greet. Hey, thanks for coming in today. Let's get to know one another a little bit. And then it's a history take. I'm going to talk to you more specifically about you on your bike. And then we get them, you know, I usually do that on the bike. Then all of a sudden they're pedaling away. Part of that is me standing back. It's called a global view. And I try to get direction for the fit at that point. There's a whole process that you go through to ultimately gather the information. And that's what is critical with doing a good bike fit. Cause you just walked in here today. I don't know you. I don't know if you're 6 feet tall or 5'8", if you have good posture, bad posture, how much experience do you have with the bike? No one, or do you have 10 years? So in order to get results, I need to get to know you. And there is a bit of an art, you know, we talked about science doesn't always give me the information I need. And part of it is drawing information out of that individual so you have a really good understanding of all kinds of things that are impacting the way they might be sitting on that bike. And once you start to get that information flow, you can make good decisions and get good results.
Interesting. A couple more questions before we part ways. I know you're off for a bike ride soon. Talk a little bit about what's going to happen this weekend and why bike fit education is so important, and maybe a bit of a loaded question, but who benefits from, you know, what we're about to do on the weekend from getting certified and learning the craft the way you did?
Yeah. You asked earlier, like, how is bike fitting evolved? And I think education has evolved. And if you're a cyclist and you've been riding a bike for 15 years, that doesn't qualify you to be a bike fitter. It kind of used to. In the bike shops, quite often the fitters, he or she, they wouldn't be trained. They would have a solid knowledge of the sport, great background. Maybe they raced at a high level, and now all of a sudden they know how to bike fit. And I disagree with that. Education gives you the foundation to provide a great service to that customer. And you can't go in and bullshit your way through that. It's got to be done the right way for a lot of reasons. Safety for one. And there's a lot of great courses out there. So if you haven't, if you're bike fitting and you haven't taken any education, take some education, do a course. You'll probably be blown away at the amount of information that we have now associated for doing a good bike fit, whereas that really wasn't available to us quite a few years ago. So no one's doing themselves any favors by calling themselves a bike fitter. They've got no education, and maybe you're getting okay results, but you could probably get better results if you had some education.
Correct. Yeah. And there's no standardization or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. The course that we're going to do this weekend, you better get ready, Cody. There's no slouching off, buddy. It is go, go, go. It's a lot of theory to a degree, but it's also a lot of hands-on. We're going to be diving in there and doing bike fits all weekend and practicing. So,
just last question, a bit self-serving advice for the individual looking to become an independent fitter. What would you say now, having gone through and learned your own lessons? What would you say, you know, setting up something of their own business and a similar fashion to what you have here?
I think it's a great opportunity to start a small business because, for one, okay, you need a little bit of space, but there's, you know, I think the average for starting a small business is like $40,000 or $50,000. You don't need $40,000 or $50,000 to get a bike fit business off the ground. You know, yeah, you're going to have to sink a few grand into it. You're going to need some tools and some bits and pieces and stuff. So that's a bonus. I think that you should have a passion for maybe wanting to help others and also the sport of cycling. I feel so lucky to be able to do what I do. I love it. I love my job. And every time I walk into that bike fit, I say, you know, this is going to be the best bike fit I've ever done. And I'm really excited about meeting this person. And if you're not thinking about it that way, like don't do this just for, oh, this will be great, I can make some money. Don't do it for that. If you do it because you have a passion for cycling and a passion for helping others, you'll be really, really good at this. And yeah, okay, then you'll do well. You'll make some money on the side, and you can, you know, I have a great living as a professional bike fitter, and I feel very lucky and fortunate to have that. All of like about 15 seconds out the back door into the studio. And yeah, I love it. I love it. I mean, it's evolved over almost 13 years now, but it is at a place where I'm pretty pleased, and I've managed to get the studio to a level that I feel like it's very much designed for great results. And that's what it's all about.
How can folks learn more about yourself, about, you know, Bike Fit Canada, the education, you know, BC Bike Fit and the Saddle Studio?
Yeah, our websites are probably the best way to go. So bcbikefit.com, that's my bike fitting services. And as you just mentioned, I realized not too much as I was getting into bike fitting, wow, a lot of people are riding around with a very uncomfortable saddle. So I started up thesaddlestudio.com, and you can go to that website and see what kind of service I offer with saddles. And if you're interested in education or buying bike fit tools or parts, bikefitcanada.ca is the other business, and it's a great resource.
Dave, thanks so much for your time. I look forward to Saturday morning and folks getting more educated. I hope this really draws a lot more attention to the profession and to the importance of education.
Thanks, Cody. It was great chatting with you today, and I look forward to working with you over the weekend.
Big thanks to Dave for his time. Really appreciated the course and certainly putting the bike fit protocol from level one into use already, and looking forward to fitting a lot more cyclists. Not sure which episodes are coming up next. I do plan to release quite a few all at once. When I started the podcast, we were on a bit of a hiatus, and once again on a hiatus for hockey, so looking forward to just getting the rest of those episodes out there. Big thanks to all the guests that have been waiting for their episodes. So thanks for writing in also to tell me that you've been listening to the podcast, and to guests that have been saying, hey man, people that have been looking to do prospective business with our company have been listening to the episodes that we recorded, and really appreciate that as well. Cheers for now.